This is a communion service, and if you're sitting there going, oh, this might be a good time to go out and get one of these guys so you're ready for later. But the title of this message is From Death to Life. Over the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about a new humanity from Romans 5 and now into Romans 6. And in Romans 5, we looked at this issue of rejoicing that in the midst of all this trouble, you know, people can think, well, if you have a relationship with the Lord, why do you have all this trouble? And we talked about that and being able to rejoice, knowing that this suffering leads to endurance. Endurance leads to character, and character leads to hope. And suffering actually results in hope rather than suffering taking away hope. Last week, we looked at the topic of how can this reconciliation happen? And, well, there was this one guy that got us in this mess, the old Adam, and there's this new Adam, or the last Adam. He gets us out of the mess. And that's what we talked about last week. Maybe you remember the two boxes and the stones and all of that from last week. But now we get into Romans chapter 6, and this from death to life. You know, often if we're talking about a serious matter, we'll say it's a matter of life and death. But here in this passage, it's a matter of from death to life. Romans 6:13 says, present yourself to God as those who've been brought from death to life. So it's not, we didn't get it backwards here in the title. The title is From Death to Life. And if you take those phrases, death and life, as a magnet through Romans 6:1-14, you're going to find a lot of different places where those terms, death and life, or died and live, you'll see those terms over and over again. And I have to say, Romans 6:1-14 is one of my absolute favorite passages of Scripture. And I think about it every day. And I hope that by the end of this message, if that's not true of you, that you would begin to have Romans 6:1-14 be a passage that you think about every day, and you think about it with the use of four words. I'm going to give you the words to start with. The first word is no, K-N-O-W. You know, there's things you need to know, and then there's things you need to consider. Some translations say reckon. Then there's some things you need to present. And then there's things you need to claim. Know, consider, present, and claim. I try to think about those four words every morning. And by the end of the message, I hope you'll understand why. And if you don't think about those four words every morning, I want to challenge you. Before you ever get out of your bed in the morning, you know, things I know, I need to consider, I need to present, and I need to claim this promise. That becomes part of your life. That's the goal of this message. You with me? That's the goal of this message. Are you with me? Okay. It will greatly change your life if these words become part of your life. Well, it starts out in Romans 6:1. What shall we say? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? This is an accusation that is made against the gospel. It was made in chapter 3. It's coming back again, this accusation. Well, if it's not under a law, then you're going to have chaos. You're going to have moral chaos if there's not a law that is keeping these people called Christians from sinning. You know, so probably what you're saying, Paul, is that, you know, the more we sin, the more gracious God looks. So that must be what the gospel's all about. It makes God look so good when we're so bad. That's the line of thinking. And Paul's answer is, God forbid, may this never be so. If you think like that, you haven't begun to understand the gospel. You haven't begun to understand what Christ did on the cross, if that's the way you think. And there are some Christians who do think that way. And if you're one of them and you come in today and say, well, you know, I've trusted Christ, it doesn't matter how I live, your thinking is completely wrong. Completely wrong. And this verse is very clear. God forbid, may it never be. And that's what, don't think that way. And now he gives the reason why. I've studied this passage so many times. And this week, this jumped out at me. And I thought, I don't think I ever took notice to this. Isn't it possible? Isn't it crazy you can study something for decades and come back to the Word of God again and go, you know, I never saw it like that. You know, what's the reason given why we shouldn't continue in sin that grace may abound? It's found right there. How can we who died to sin still live in it? This is a central point of this passage. Christ died to sin, and so have you. So have you. So how could you possibly think that now I should live in sin? I died to that. Christ died to that. And that's what we're going to unpack with this first question of, what do you know? You know, ever have that? Well, what do you know? I hope that becomes a phrase in your house. What do you know? Well, it's found here in verse 3. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? What do you know? We've been baptized into Christ's death. What in the world does that mean? Well, people can get all kind of sideways on as soon as they see the word baptized, and they can, depending on their background and traditions, they can think all kinds of things. We don't have the time to do a complete study of everything in Scripture. I'm going to ask you to trust me a little bit on this. There's a lot of different baptisms taught in Scripture. Into Moses, into the cloud, Jesus under the cross, the baptism of John. There's a lot of different baptisms talked about. The key word is identification. Don't you know that you've been identified with Christ? The Spirit of God baptizes people into the body of Christ when they hear the gospel, when they believe. When they receive the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God places us into the body of Christ. We are baptized by the Holy Spirit. We're identified with Christ. And then out of that, people publicly talk about what's happened inside. Yeah, some people think of baptism as some sort of magic thing that, you know, the wet sinner goes in and out. Yeah, it's not magic. It's the idea that I'm choosing to be identified with him. I'm identified into his death. I'm buried with him. I'm raised with him. You know, we'll have a baptism, as Brother Ron shared, in the month of April. If you're interested in getting baptized, there is baptismal packets at the Welcome Center. You can pick one of them up. And there's a Bible study in there that unpacks a lot more of what Scripture teaches about baptism than what we can in this message. But you need to understand this. Pastor Eric already preached from Romans 4, where it talks about how righteousness comes. It doesn't come by works. It doesn't come by religious ritual. The illustration of Abraham believed God in Genesis 15, and he was declared righteous. It's two chapters later, it's like 14 years later, that he receives the sign of circumcision, which already signifies the righteousness he had. Water baptism is the same way. You receive Christ, you've heard, you believe, you receive, the Spirit places you in the body, and now that righteousness that you have by faith, water baptism is now a outward declaration of the righteousness you've already received. Very, very important to understand this. But when you get to verse 4, if you look, you know, this whole message is from Romans 6, 1 to 14. You know, go there, just stay there, look. Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of God the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. it's expected that those who are identified with Christ now live a new kind of life. That's expected because you're united with Christ. He died, he was buried, he was raised to newness of life. Those who are in Christ are united with Christ in what he did on the cross and dying. He died for sin. We now die to sin. He was buried. You know, he was 3 days in the earth, just as Jonah was 3 days in the belly of the whale or the big fish. And that's something to think about. But we know that we have been baptized. We've been identified with Christ in his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Well, what else do we know? In verse 6, it's the next part. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of death of sin might be brought to nothing, might be made powerless. That sin loses its power when we are in Christ. And you might be sitting there saying, well, you say that, I don't feel that right now. Well, I hope that by the end of this message, you begin to understand how you might get to the place where you experience what is being promised here. That you begin to experience that sin has lost its power over you because you are no longer enslaved to sin. The concept of being enslaved and slavery and all that, Pastor Eric will be developing much more next week. But I'll just say this. Enslavers are always lurking. Enslavers come in many forms. Free love, substance abuse, pornography. I was just doing some reading on what's happening to young men between the ages of 18 and 30 as a result of sports betting. It's an enslavement. It promises freedom and it makes you a slave. Self-righteousness is an enslavement as well. We need to understand that enslavement comes in many different forms. I recently read the biography of Sojourner Truth. She was born a slave at the beginning of the 1800s, late 1700s in New York State. Her right name was Isabella Bumfrey. It's a very interesting story. I'd actually recommend you read it. Help you understand what it's like to live as a slave. And then the story of her coming to freedom, because they freed the slaves in New York State in 1827. And she got her freedom a little bit before that. But something very interesting about that, at one point she was tempted to go back into slavery. There was a couple things that were appealing about slavery, and for a moment she was tempted to go back into slavery. And then she repented of that. Very thought-provoking. We've been set free from sin. So verse 7 says, one who has died has been set free from sin. Christ died on the cross to pay for our sin. When we see ourselves as in Christ, we need to see ourselves as having been set free from sin. And verse 8 says, if we died with Christ, we believe we will live with him. You know, death and life, right? Death and life. Death comes first because sin came first and we died to God because of the old nature of Adam. And in Christ, we are made alive again. Well, verses 9 and 10, there's another thing we know. I mean, the first thing we knew, we were baptized with Christ. Our old self was crucified. And now we know that Christ being raised from the dead will never die again. Oftentimes people are identifying themselves with the death of Christ, and that's what we'll do in communion, but they stop there. Your identification with Christ is not just in his death and the payment for sin. Your identification with Christ is in the resurrection and this new life that Christ lives. Jesus is never going to die again. He lives his life. He died for sin once for all. The life he lives to God. The life he lives to God. If you go back to chapter 5, verse 10, when we were in that message, I remember the first time I began to understand this. You know, my focus, like most people's in coming to Christ, was on the death of Christ. And I had never considered what the life of Christ meant for me. And maybe you're like that. You've never really considered what the life of Christ means for you. What is Christ doing now? We talked about this 2 weeks ago. It says, if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we're reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. What is Christ doing now? What did Christ do while he was on earth? Yeah, he wasn't paying for sin anymore. He still had to deal with sinful people while he was there. Now he's in the presence of God where he ever lives to pray for you. He's able to save to the uttermost those who come to him by faith. This, he's giving us a new life. This new life we get to experience now. Do you understand that it's possible for sin no longer to enslave you? Do you understand that? Do you know that? That's this first word, no. There's facts you need to know before you can experience freedom. You know, Sojourner Truth had to understand the fact that the time was coming when it was going to be declared that she's free. Released. But it took her a long time to change her slave mentality. And those of us who've come to Christ, it takes us often a long time to change our slave mentality. You know, we might see it says here, you know, okay, I'm no longer enslaved to this stuff, but that's not the way I feel, right? So the message doesn't stop with verse 10. These 10 verses here, man, I'm telling you, you could study those every day for the rest of your life and still going, well, I never saw that before. Well, that fits with that. Well, I mean, that's what I did all week, right? Well, okay, there's all these repeated words here. By the way, before chapter 6, rarely do you find words like we or you. A little bit in chapter 5 and a couple other places a little bit. It was laying all this foundation. Now, when you get into chapter 6, it's all about we and you. This is now taking all this foundation from these first 5 chapters and saying, now, this is what this means for you now. This isn't just what it means for you later. This is what it means for you now. So you and we, this is us in this together. This is application of all this wonderful truth. And how does this work in life? Well, there's things that you need to know. But not only things that you need to know. If you stop there, it's just theory. But verse 11 is such an interesting verse. What you must consider or reckon. This is the word that Pastor Eric unpacked a lot for us in Romans chapter 4. It's this idea of imputed, this imputed righteousness. Now you need to think that way. You need to consider, you need to believe, you need to see this as credited to you. In verse 11, so you also must consider yourself dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. It's a way of thinking. There's a defeatist way of thinking that's shocked when you make a few steps of obedience or have some victories. That's a defeatist way of thinking. There's a victorious way of thinking that is shocked when you disobey. Which way do you think? You're so amazed when you ever obey. Or are you amazed when you disobey? It's two different ways of thinking. It's kind of like two different ways of thinking in athletics. I was trying to think of which illustration to use. And Noah Lyles from track, he expects to win every time he goes up there. Or Steph Curry, I didn't watch it, but I understand he always expects to win the three-point things. And I guess he won last night. You know, I could make some of us sorry. The Kansas City Chiefs, when they get on the field, they expect to win, right? There's other teams and other players that are surprised when they win. Jesus always leads in victory. If you are following, you should not be surprised when you actually are in step with the Lord. You should be surprised and disappointed when you're not. Which way do you think? If there's anything that you get out of this message, this is the verse I want you to really, how do you think about yourself? How do you think about your sin? How do you think about your place? Do you see yourself as dead to sin, alive to God? Or do you see yourself as alive to sin and dead to God? Which is it? Which way do you think? Well, for many years, my understanding of the gospel was, I heard the gospel when I was 25. I was so amazed at it, and I prayed to receive Christ. And now the next thing that's going to happen, I'm going to go to heaven. And I wasn't really sure what happened in between. And I think for a lot of Christians, that describes their experience. Yeah, I heard the gospel, and this is great, and it definitely brought change in my life, but I really have no idea how to now grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I really don't know how to do it. That's what this message is about. I have Dr. Harold Kine to thank for some of my thoughts. I have Dr. Henry Brandt to thank for some of my thoughts. I have Randy Pope to thank for some of my thoughts. It was Randy Pope who I first heard say this. He said, we know that if you're led of the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of sinful nature. That's what Galatians says. The question is, what's your plan? What is your plan for living by the Spirit rather than by the lust of the flesh? What is your plan? And it's from him that I got part of this message, this focus on these three words. Know, there's things you have to know. And then there's a way you have to think about it. There's a book that I recommend. It's called The Gospel Primer. Some people say primer. Primer is paint. When it's a book, it's primer. Okay? Let's just get that straight. And it's a series of devotionals by a guy who went from being a miserable Christian because he understood gospel as something that I prayed and I received Christ, and now I just need to get busy, and I don't really, I live a miserable Christian life, but this is what I need to do. And he finally came to the end of that. And this is a quote out of the introduction on page 5. God did not give us his gospel so that we could embrace it and be converted. He did give it for that reason, but that's not only. Actually, he offers it to us every day as a gift that keeps on giving to us everything we need for life and godliness. Coming back to this every day. This is the gospel. Coming back to it every day and now taking the time, you know, here's how it might work. Father, this morning I know that I've been united with Christ in his death to sin. And just as he was buried, I was buried, and just as he was raised to newness of life, I'm raised to newness of life. Sin no longer can enslave me. And this morning, that's the way I want to think about myself. As dead to sin and alive to God. That's the way I'm going to approach my life this day. Well, that's a lot to think about. Seems like an appropriate time to stop and reflect on how you're united in Christ in his death. His death for sin is your death for sin. We're going to stop and give thanks for his death for sin being our death for sin. If you look at these next verses, what must we present? Verses 12 and 13. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments of unrighteousness. Present yourself to God as those who have been brought, here's where the title is from death to life. And your members to God as instruments for righteousness. We started out talking about things you need to know. You can't change if you don't know these things. Then we've talked to you about things you need to consider, or in the words of Pastor Dave, think. No, think. Verse 11. Here's some things you need to do in presenting or do. Pastor Dave and I were talking, and I said, this is a great children's ministry message. Things to know, things to think, and things to do. Do not present your members, parts of your body, as instruments to sin. Present them to God. It's very practical. You get up in the morning. This is what I try to do. Several things I think about every morning. One of them is asking the Lord to search me, try me, test me, see if there's any wicked way in me, lead me in the way everlasting. I try to think through and pray through the Lord's Prayer, and this is one of the things I try to think through. It doesn't take long, but it sets your mind. There's things I know. I know I've died with Christ. I've been buried with Christ. I've been raised with Christ to newness of life. And Christ is never going to walk to death again. He's never going to lead me to death again. These are things I know. Now, I'm going to think about myself this way today, that I am dead to sin and alive to God. I'm going to take this by faith. Not by the way I feel. I'm going to take this by faith. And now because I take this by faith, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to present the members of my body to God as instruments of righteousness. And I'm going to think about those areas where I'm tempted. And I'm going to say, God, these eyes. I want these eyes to see people the way you see them today. This mouth. I want this mouth to be one that speaks words that are for the building up and not for the tearing down. I don't want to speak unwholesome words. Please enable me today to speak the way you would have me to speak. You know, just thinking through that. These feet. I need to make sure I'm going to places you want me to go and I'm staying away from the places you don't want me to go. Right? Very, very practical. From theory and facts, to a mindset, to action. And then if this is the way you approach life, you'll be able to claim the promise of verse 14. I'll never forget the first time I heard this. It was from Dr. Keim in Romans class. You know, sin shall not be your master because you're not under law, you're under grace. The moral code under grace is the same as the moral code under the law. But the means of accomplishing it is from God by faith. Do you understand this? The law was never given as a means of accomplishing God's will. It was given as a means of revealing God's will. It's grace. It's this enablement that comes from the Lord that enables you and me that in any situation, you're no longer a slave. In any situation, you don't have to sin. The grace of God is available to you in each and every temptation that comes your way. But you need to know the right things. You need to think the right way. You need to see yourself as imputed righteousness. No longer, you're dead to sin, alive to God. You need to think about yourself that way. And then you need to put feet to that. Right? You need to put feet to that. It's not enough to just think that way. You know, in Pastor Dave's words, no think do. I don't know what word he's going to use for claim. Maybe it's experience. I don't know. Do you get it? There's things you need to know. Now this last slide puts it all together. What do you know? Here's what I wrote down. I've died to sin. I'm alive in Christ. And by the way, we talked last week to the boxes in Adam and in Christ. This concept really gets unpacked into Christ, in Christ, gets unpacked more and more here as you go through this. That's what I know. I've died to sin. I'm alive to Christ. What do you consider? I'm dead to sin. I'm alive to God. That's what I consider. That's the way I think about myself. That's the way you need to think about yourself. What do you present? You're going to present the members of your body to sin? You need to understand, sin always leads to death. Sin always leads to slavery. Are you going to present the members of your body as slavery today? Or are you going to present the members of your body to God as instruments of righteousness that leads to true freedom? Are you going to claim the promise by faith that sin is powerless and experience this? I want to tell you. If you know the right things, you think the right things, you do the right things, and the right things will go into the Lord's power instead of your own, you will experience this in increasing measure. It will be the exception when you disobey rather than the rule. I believe this with all my heart. I've seen God changing my life through the years, and particularly since I understood this. This is my plan for living by the Spirit day after day. What is yours? Do you have a plan whereby you approach life in such a way that you are living by the Spirit day after day? Because Galatians tells us, if you're led of the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the sinful nature. Remember the first time I heard that, I'm like, wow, well, that's amazing. I remember thinking, I wish that was true. I can tell you now it is true. It is true. This is how you grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Pastor Dave's word, know, think, do. Father, I pray that we would be knowing in deep ways and not just factually, but experientially, being united with Christ in His death, His burial, His resurrection, and knowing that we now identify with Him in this new life where sin has lost its power. I pray that we would be those who think that way day after day. Every day we would be thinking about that. I'm dead to sin. I'm alive to God. This is the way I'm going to think about myself. This is the way God says I'm to think about myself. And Father, out of that day after day, we would be those who are presenting ourselves to you as instruments of righteousness, that all of our being and all of our activities, we would be instruments of righteousness. And then by faith, we could claim this wonderful promise that sin is not our master. Sin is such a cruel taskmaster. It promises all these things and gives us death. But Father, instead of having this cruel taskmaster, we would be experiencing the great grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as a true moment-by-moment reality. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.